This podcast is brought to you by Money Control.
It was on July 1st, 2017 that the Narendra Modi government implemented the Goods and Services Tax. 2 years have passed on and there has still been a lot of debate on how the GST, or rather the indirect tax system, is hurting businesses and industries. Hello and welcome to Money Control. This is Jerome Anthony and you're listening to a special podcast where we are going to be discussing and decoding the implementation of the Goods and Services Tax. What changes are expected to happen on April 1 as far as the set of regulations are concerned, and what proponents of the GST had believed of the new tax system adding approximately 1.5% to India's GDP. To tell us all about this, I have Nishant Shah, co-head of tax at Economic Laws Practice. Hi and welcome to the show, Nishant.
Hi.
Nishant, first up, everybody knows it that there was quite a bit of pomp and show before GST was implemented. And, you know, we had all expected that it would boost the government's coffers. But since its launch, it has, you know, a lot of people have said that it's hurting businesses and industries. Could the rollout of GST have been managed in a better way?
I think a very effective question, and maybe the right word you used while at the start of this session, and you said decoding GST.
Right.
And you know, so when we go into the rollout of GST, maybe it's important to understand why do we call it as a rollout, which means that it is replacing something which was already existing. And before we go to rollout, therefore, it's important to understand that what is GST replacing? GST is replacing, GST is a change in the indirect tax regime of the country. The country has two types of taxes, direct tax and indirect tax. So before GST was brought in, there were multifarious taxes in India. And therefore, if somebody was manufacturing, he had to pay excise duty. If somebody was rendering services, he had to pay service tax. If somebody was purchasing and selling, he had to pay VAT. So for every different activity that he was undertaking, there was a different tax which was required to be paid. That was making life complicated for businesses who were doing all the three, or one of the three, or two of the three. And to make things easier, it was important that they bring about a single tax, and which is the goods and service tax. Now, this single tax is not new to India. In fact, most countries with an economy which is growing at the pace at which India's is growing has already implemented this simpler position of tax, which is a goods and service tax, or some countries call it as a value-added tax, VAT.
Right.
And that's how this was brought in. Now, it was very important that we bring this in from two perspectives. One, that it brings about India's positioning as a country where the business processes are simpler, and therefore it shows an ease of doing business, which is what, in a way, we can say that, you know, from the rankings, we know that it has been achieved. The second issue was that it also brings about simplicity in the businesses which are being conducted in the country, and therefore, where there are certain businesses who are not undertaking compliance because of the complexity involved, they would also be encouraged to undertake compliance, and they will all fall in line in getting into this. Having so said, it was a significant, huge task because India is not a small country.
Right.
It's a huge country.
Mm-hmm.
There are multiple businesses. There are multiple manner of doing multiple businesses. And there are different trades and customs which influence those businesses. And therefore, the indirect taxes which were operating earlier were also being tailored in that manner. Now, all of that was to be merged into a single regime, a single legislation, a single law, and to be implemented in the country.
Right.
And therefore, there were bound to be certain teething issues.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe what we are seeing is just those teething issues which were bound to happen.
Okay.
And of course, everyone would have preferred a perfect GST to be bring in without any teething issues. But is that possible? And, you know, like in trying to bring in the perfect GST, you don't want no GST to be coming in at all.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, maybe I would believe that what has been brought in was, within the circumstances, one of the most effective GST to be brought in.
All right.
Could it have been rolled out in a more effective manner? One may say, yes, it could have been, had the government done some bit of little more homework. But within the circumstances, I think what has been brought in is pretty good.
So trial and error is something that the government used before, implementing GST. But as it currently stands, do you think there are any glaring issues, with the structure?
So there are a few issues, frankly, to say that, because when the GST was brought in, the government had created for the first time a digital platform called the GST Network. And every business was to digitize their entire operations and hook onto that network and literally upload every activity that they're doing. Now, like I'm saying, that could there have been some amount of homework being done? From two perspectives, from businesses, could the government have done better to prepare those businesses enough that when GST was brought in, they were not lagging and they were able to do the compliances very effectively?
Okay.
The digitization or the digital penetration within the country is not that deep enough. And therefore, if you see a lot of relaxation or liberalization that the government brought in the GST norms post its implementation was from the perspective of assisting and facilitating these small and medium businesses in various remote locations to upgrade themselves.
Okay.
Now, if they would have given enough handle earlier and facilitated, these businesses would have been effectively prepared to get into this kind of operation. That was one. Second was the GST network itself. In fact, the story goes that on the very first day when GST was brought in, there were so many transactions to be uploaded on the network that the network crashed.
Right.
Now, government should have been understanding enough to say that it's not a small country, it's a huge country. There are huge number of businesses, there are huge variation in businesses, and therefore there is bound to be so much of a load on the network. And therefore the capacity should have been created high.
Okay.
What it led to is that the government had to reduce certain compliance procedures, reduce the number of uploads that were required on the system,
okay,
which in turn resulted into difficulty in non-clarity as to, you know, this was a structure contemplated, but there's a different structure which has come into play.
Okay.
And there were certain concerns which came in. And those concerns, in a way, started snowballing that, oh, now we'll need to rectify that. Okay. The good thing I should say is that the government has been sensitive of that. And the industry, while reaching out to the government, has been vocal on certain concerns faced. And the government has been responsive to immediately address those concerns. Okay. Maybe as a temporary address or whatever. But for the time being, it has done well. So that people don't feel, or the industry, the businesses don't feel the pinch of it.
Right. Nishant, so we've spoken about, you know, the implementation of GST. We've spoken about what were the issues, or rather, how the government fixed those issues. So primarily, the government's aim was to increase its coffers. Revenue collection, as far as GST is concerned, you know, it has not been up to the mark, or rather not been to the mark where the government expected it to be.
You know, while there is this whole news reports and other things also that we are seeing that the government collections. Mm-hmm. So first one, I should say that pre-GST, there was never a system where the government used to announce what has been the collection month on month.
Right.
With GST, that is a new system which has come in. Mm-hmm. And therefore, we have an opportunity to evaluate that and compare that.
Right.
Second is, with GST coming in, there were businesses who were carrying certain credits. Those credits, that is tax credits, were allowed to be transitioned into GST.
Okay.
That obviously resulted into dent into the government's coffers, that those credits could or could not have been utilized in the earlier regime. But in the GST regime, they became available as tax credits and could be utilized.
Mm-hmm.
Second, as I mentioned, that, you know, there were certain glitches that they saw in the GST network. Mm-hmm. And because of which they had to liberalize, they had to relax certain requirements of filing, etc., which obviously and which preferably should not have happened, but has resulted into certain fraudulent activities. And therefore, the government has lost some amount of the revenue that they could have collected because of these kind of activities. And last but not the least, you know, the global scenario, the economy in the country, etc., has also played its role. And because that was low, the collections had to be lower on account of the low economic activity taking place in the country. So, all in all, I would say that, yes, there have been certain aspects which have resulted into a dent in the government revenue collection. Mm-hmm. But was GST the sole cause of it? I wouldn't agree to that. I would say that, yes, GST is partly responsible. And I think government is now taking steps to mitigate those issues or plug those loopholes,
okay,
such that at least the revenue leakages are blocked and okay, we see a smoother and higher collection of revenue.
Right. Nishant, so some big changes in the set regulations, which will be implemented on the 1st of April. Can you tell our listeners what exactly can, you know, people who pay GST can expect?
Sure. Absolutely. So, like we mentioned that, you know, there have been a significant amount of fraudulent activity which has been carried out. And therefore, it became very important that the government plugs those loopholes such that this activity is not carried out.
Right.
Secondly, we also spoke that the initial contemplation of what is required to be filed as a compliance process on the GSTN network. Mm-hmm. And finally, what was watered down, there was a gap. So it was important for the government to ignite all of that requirements and bring it back to that level. They could not do it immediately because the businesses were struggling to cope up with the digitization wave that was required under GST. And therefore, maybe now as a step, they're taking one by one and trying to implement. So as we speak, there is already contemplation going on that from the 1st of April, there are certain things which are sure to come and certain things which are being debated in the GST Council meeting and will be coming in. Mm-hmm. So what are those which are sure to come? One is that there have been differences in the tax credit taken by a business and that based on which he has taken, in the sense that he purchases something from a vendor, the vendor has not paid to the government and therefore he cannot get a credit. So which we call it as a reconciliation. Reconciliation between his 3B, the register of the government, and his own records.
Okay.
Government has said if you are not able to reconcile that, then you will be eligible to take only 10% of the reconciled turnover as your turnover. Now, this facility was up to 20% earlier, but it is not reconciled. That is being brought down to 10%. Because if it is not being reconciled, that means there is some fault in the other end from where the vendor has supplied. So that is one restrictive practice which is coming in. Second, currently there is no provision which allows the commissioner to restrict the credit or block the credit or freeze the credit. It's like freezing of your bank account. It is a freezing of the credit. There is a move to bring in another provision which will allow the commissioner, if he has reason to believe that there is any fraudulent activity, to freeze the credit.
Okay.
Third, very significantly, there is introduction of what is known as e-invoicing,
mm-hmm.
which means every invoice which is generated by a business, but only those businesses which have more than 100 crores of turnover in case of B2B business and 500 crores or more turnover in case of B2C business, to issue an invoice, first of all, they'll need to upload that whole invoice on the government network. Government will give, in case of B2B business, government will issue an IRN number, that is invoice request number, which will be affixed on the invoice. And in case of B2C businesses, they will issue a QR code.
Okay.
Now, all of this will make it very important that the government has a complete tab on what invoices are being issued. And this is, of course, a huge burden on businesses because they'll have to comply with and they'll have a very effective connectivity with the government portal, mm-hmm. to ensure that every time they want to issue an invoice, they're able to take the number,
okay.
or the QR code. So that's a very big restrictive step which is coming in. In addition to that, there are certain other smaller action points also there. So the government is contemplating rationalization of certain rates. Today we have multifarious rates. We have 5%, 12%, 18%, 28%. They're planning to reduce the number of rates. So that's another action point that we may be seeing very soon. And certain others just from a similar restrictive perspective, which are expected to come about.
Quite interesting there, Nishant. You know, lastly, I would just want to know that many proponents of GST had said that, you know, once implemented, the GST would go on to add 1.5% at least to India's GDP growth. That somehow not happened. Can we expect something like that to happen in the near future?
So on the GDP growth, I would say that it is the GDP of a country or the GDP parameter of a country. It cannot directly be evaluated only because of a tax change brought in. But did people have expectations of GDP growth because of GST introduction? Of course, yes, there were expectations.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that if we have not been able to achieve, there are 2-3 factors which play on that. One being that, first of all, where was the expectation coming from? That where would we get the 1.5% growth? It was coming because pre-GST, there was a lot of business activity or commercial activity carried out in the unorganized sector. Now, with GST, it was expected that because of the flow of credit, all of these unorganized sectors will be incentivized to get themselves registered into GST and convert into an organized sector. Because only then they would be able to cater to the small and medium and in turn to the larger industry sector within the country. So that unorganized sector becoming accountable would have enhanced the total bandwidth of the GDP and increased to a certain proportion. In addition to that, with GST coming in, there would have been ease of business. So we would have seen, and it was expected, some flux of foreign capital coming in, which would have again increased economic activity in the country. And last but not the least, that certain businesses which were not being compliant because of the complexity would have start complying because of the simplicity brought about by GST. Okay. Now, on each of these factors, I don't think we've been able to see a full turnaround of what was expected because of, as I mentioned, that, you know, GST could not be brought in its full rhythm in the manner in which it was anticipated or it was contemplated. It had to be watered down, it had to be relaxed so that it encourages businesses to get into GST. But having said that, government is now taking steps. And like we said, on the 1st of April, a lot of things are coming in.
Right.
If all of these are brought in and slowly that becomes compulsory for every business operating in the country, and which is expected, maybe not now, maybe 2 years hence or 5 years hence, automatically this 1.5%, in fact, a larger percentage than that, you may start seeing as being accounted for in the GDP growth.
Right, Nishant. Thank you so much for all these updates.
Right.
So that was Nishant Shah telling you all you need to know about the changes that can be expected on April 1. I will surely bring Nishant back on the show soon once the government implements the changes, and we'll talk about how it could benefit or what are the pros and cons from it. In case you have any query or in case you have any suggestion, please do write to us at mcpodcast@nw18.com. I repeat, that's mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views and updates, stay logged on to Money Control. Thank you for listening.